It's the Daily News Flash from Wine Country with Barry Martin, briefing you on today's top stories.
We're diving right in. Top stories for Friday, April 9, 2021, and away we go. First up, from San Francisco Chronicle, California is expecting to receive fewer doses of vaccine for the next 2 weeks. This is just as the state's trying to see a surge in demand for millions of additional people, having opened up eligibility starting April 15th. That's 6 days away, and that decline in the vaccine supply expected to span about 2 weeks. The vaccine allocation from the feds to drop 15%. 2.4 million doses this week becomes only 2 million next week, and then down another 5% after that to about 1.9 million. That shortfall could have an impact on those plans to reopen fully in the state June 15th. It's a target date set by Governor Gavin Newsom earlier this week. The reopening has assumptions built into it, and one of those is meeting aggressive vaccination goals, including that by mid-June, all Californians 16 and over will be able to get an appointment for a shot within 2 weeks. Now, the governor's office said on social media yesterday the state is still on track for that June 15th opening. State officials projecting optimism that the vaccine supply will increase significantly in April and May. But in fact, the supply is decreasing for 2 weeks well into the month of April, and that brings some question into the timeline. Some public health officials on local level are a bit skeptical. In the meantime, speaking of the local, Napa County totals 103,000 plus jabs administered to date. And while we're on the topic of the local, only 7 new cases were reported yesterday for Napa County. Single digit, 7 cases. Looks like that surge that we had locally could well be over. That's our top story number one for today. Number two, what a fracas in Sonoma County. Massive top half headlines in the Press Democrat today, as you might expect. And the story is involving now a criminal investigation from the Sonoma County Sheriff's Office, starting yesterday, looking into 38-year-old winemaker and Windsor Mayor Dominic Fapoli. More than a dozen local and state lawmakers have now demanded Fapoli resign or be removed from office. This all started with the San Francisco Chronicle's exclusive investigation that documented 4 women's accounts that Fapoli sexually assaulted them in incidents spanning the years 2003 to 2019. It's not immediately clear if there are any criminal charges possible for Fapoli. None of the women who spoke to the Chronicle had filed police reports. In some cases, the statute of limitations may have passed. Those calling on Fapoli to step down included a variety of local electeds in Sonoma County and also State Assemblyman Jim Wood and State Senator Mike McGuire. That does not bode well for Mr. Fapoli. Let's move from one scandalous story to the next. From the Daily Beast today, Venmo transactions show that Representative Matt Gaetz in May of 2018 sent money, a total of $900, to accused sex trafficker Joel Greenberg. The next morning, over the course of 8 minutes, Greenberg used Venmo to send 3 young women different sums of money, which just happened to total $900. Greenberg is the former tax collector of Seminole County in Florida. He's been now federally indicted on 33 counts, including sex trafficking crimes involving a 17-year-old. Court documents say that Greenberg was engaged in sugar daddy relationships. The New York Times says a Justice Department investigation is looking into Congressman Matt Gaetz's involvement in this cash-for-sex ring. Gaetz and Greenberg are connected through Venmo to a woman who was then 18 years old and who now works in the porn industry, according to a friend of that woman. On Thursday, Greenberg's attorney and prosecutors indicated during a court hearing they expect Greenberg to strike a plea deal, meaning cooperation with investigators, which, of course, could be disastrous for Matt Gaetz, as investigators are looking into the connections between the two men. One particularly damning bit of evidence, those financial transactions on Venmo. The Matt Gaetz political show could be coming to an end. Would he also mess up his opportunity to become some kind of a television commentator? He's one of many in Congress these days that appear to be more interested in setting themselves up for a future news channel gig than they are in actually conducting any political activity toward legislation. So Matt Gaetz in quite a bit of hot water as of today. That's political scandal number two of the day and top story number three for this morning. Got a scorecard to keep track of the scandals right now. After the worst fire season in California history, drought conditions raising fears of what's to come, and Governor Gavin Newsom and legislative leaders unveiled a $536 million proposal yesterday to boost firefighting efforts. Also a variety of prevention measures, including vegetation management and the construction of fire-resistant structures across the state. According to an outline from legislative staff, more than $350 million to be spent on fire prevention and suppression. That includes prescribed fires and other projects designed to reduce vegetation growth, which has been fueling the most devastating fires. The LA Times also reports that the package includes $25 million for fortifying older homes that were not built using fire-resistant methods that have been required for new construction over the last decade or so. That is top story number four for this morning, and interestingly, coming in the same week as the measures at Napa County Board of Supervisors were discussed and commitments to significant funding for these same purposes on the local level. So you can see this is obviously an issue of prime concern, not just here, but across the state. That's top story four. Number five today. Oh, yes, we are gradually coming out of this pandemic funk, aren't we? The Warriors have announced yesterday they'll start letting fans back into the Chase Center in just a couple of weeks. They'll be hosting the Nuggets, and that's on April 23rd, the first date when people can be in the stands for the game. Team announcement yesterday followed an update from officials in San Francisco saying they are on track to issue guidelines for live events to resume in San Francisco April 15th. Now, as you would expect, there's a capacity limit, 35% for the Chase Center. That totals about 6,300 people. And also, as you might expect, proof of vaccination or proof of a negative coronavirus test, in this case within 48 hours of the game. Social distancing and mask wearing to be enforced. And here's an interesting twist and something new. Fans who purchase a ticket to one of these Warriors games 7 days prior can get, at no additional cost, an in-home coronavirus test that they can self-administer within 48 hours of the tip-off. This is a Lucira Health molecular coronavirus test. The Warriors are going to be the first sports team to offer customers an at-home testing option. After getting proof of the negative test, ticket buyers then must enroll in Clear's Health Pass, which will allow them to safely link their test result and complete a health survey. That resulting pass then will be required for fans to enter Chase Center. Interesting, you know, we're having this conversation. People are going off about how having some kind of vaccine passport would be an invasion of privacy, or it's the mark of the beast from the horrible Joe Biden administration, or so on and so forth. When in fact, the private sector is going to drive the whole vaccine passport concept. The whole idea started months ago with concert promoters and other people in large venues, people trying to say, how do we safely get back into business? Because if we let it just continue this way, it will take forever. We'll lose our shirts. So it's been the private sector that's driven this, not really the government. And I think a lot of people in government know that it's a sort of third rail danger in terms of intruding too much on people's privacy. So that's a big, big story for the Bay Area, for San Francisco, and for sports fans. They also have to make sure that you are not sitting too close to the court unless you are fully vaccinated. They say in this story from the Chronicle, fully vaccinated customers don't need to provide proof of a negative test unless they are seated within 30 feet of the court. So it could be a double dip for some folks. You want to sit courtside, you got to be fully vaccinated and have a test, I guess. Yes, you can still get a beverage and a hot dog. You have to order through an app and pick them up at various locations within the Chase Center, prepackaged. Speaking of sports, the Giants home opener is today as well. That's also in our news. And there'll be about 8,000 fans at the ballpark, having shown proof that they have had a recent negative coronavirus test. 1:35 first pitch. Colorado Rockies are in town, and the Giants are 3-3 in the early days of the season as they go to the home opener this afternoon. Starting to feel like real life again. Top story number six, another reopening kind of story, but with a little bit of a foot on the brake at Yosemite. They will require visitors to make advance reservations this summer, as was the case last year. They're trying to keep a lid on crowds, of course, and the park is one of the busiest in the National Park Service, and they're continuing to function with limited staff and services. Officials say because of all that, they can't handle typical peak season numbers. And as we all know, if you've been there in peak season, it gets pretty darn crowded. 20,000 people a day is what they peak out at, and they're not capable of that right now. So if you're planning a Yosemite trip, plan to get reservations for the upcoming summer months. No casual drop-ins, please. Top story number seven. This is kind of hopefully an anomaly, some kind of a weird bulb out situation here with unemployment claims in California up sharply last week. Sharply hardly says the whole story. 36.6%. was the jump in unemployment claims in California. There seems to be a number of companies who have given up, and some jobs have just evaporated here as we approach the end of the pandemic. 145,000 newly laid off state residents filing for benefits in the week ending April 3rd. That was up almost 40,000 from the week before, 36.6% jump. How does that compare? Well, the nationwide unemployment claim situation up by just 2.1%. So California is accounting for about a fifth of all the new unemployment claims. More than three quarters of these applications were what are called additional claims. And that means they were people who were previously unemployed, then rehired, and now unemployed again, all within the last 12 months. What a yo-yo. That's top story seven, number eight for today. Highway 1 along Big Sur expected to reopen by April 30th. They're weeks ahead of the schedule for those repairs. That huge piece of roadway crumbled during a recent storm. The California Department of Transportation announced yesterday that the scenic highway snaking through the rugged coastal cliffs should be back in action by the end of the month. They have been repairing a 150-foot washout along that picturesque and famous route for drivers. And that's top story eight. And our final story, number nine today. No surprise that Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh, has passed away. He has recently been in and out of the hospital. And he is, after all, was, I should say, 99 years old, the stalwart husband of Queen Elizabeth II and the oldest and longest serving royal spouse in 10 centuries. Prince Philip, again, was 99. And those are the top stories in today's Daily News Flash for Friday, April 9th, 2021.
That was your Daily News Flash from Wine Country with Barry Martin.